Welcome to the Audit and Accounts Committee. I believe we're quorum, so I propose that we do actually start. Agreed by my colleague from Corporate Services. So I'll go through the report and take comment from the floor as we go through.
We approve the minutes of the last meeting.
First item is to approve the minutes, and are you all happy now with...
Chair, I don't know if we can, because I don't know if I wasn't at that meeting. I don't think you were. Were you at it?
I was on the list.
Because I can't say anything.
Yeah, Councillor Dodson was there, and Councillor McNaughton was
right.
There.
Yeah, we are for it. We'll call it for that meeting, because you only need two of us.
Okay, okay.
Thank you.
Apologies.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillors Aspin and Leeson.
And then straight, and we have one no-show.
Correct.
Officers' reports then. I had a pre-meeting with the officers. A number of issues are quite apparent as we go through this, which I will come back to as we go through the report. So would you like to start taking us through, please?
So I plan to kick it off, and then Julie will come on with the detail. I'm going to temper my comments as well, so that I'm not overly enthusiastic. With regards to where we are, and I say that in the context of information I'll present rather than the context of the report itself. So the report itself, I know that we are slipping behind a number of areas. So we've got six items that are over 3 months behind, six that are just under 3 months but still behind, three on target, eight completed. So that's not an ideal stance. I would say at the time we wrote this, we were very ambitious, and we were under the working impression that we need to achieve all of this as quickly as possible to get ourselves off the Section 24 list with the auditors. Subsequent to that, we have now met with our new auditors, Azettes, and it's a different stance being taken across the sector. They're more looking at a multi-year recovery process. And that's something that Tim and I spoke to them about, and that is going to be something that's presented when I do the outturn report and the medium-term financial strategy. We're going to see how it's embedded within these elements as well, some of that recovery. But I won't speak to that as yet because we haven't gone through all of that with the group. But fundamentally, there are elements in there that will start to make sense and it'll start to flow. So in terms of these reports to date, we have had significant progress in the last week or so. Tomorrow, all of our accounts up to 23-24 will be published online, and that's with the public consultation starting. Grant Thornton have confirmed that they're content. They will attend the next audit meeting, and they will sign off, and that will end our relationship with Grant Thornton at the next meeting. So they're very pleased as well. So we've had contact with Avatar. I literally had an email as I sat down here to confirm their stance on it as well. So that's really good news. In terms of the subsequent year's accounts, we're still working on those as we speak. All of the working papers have been produced to an audit standard for the accounts being published tomorrow as well. That will save us time in terms of our recovery process going forward with the Zets, because we actually have everything prepared and full accounts for those years. The stance that they're taking is they want us to reset our accounts piece by piece over the next few years. So next year we will want to focus on fixed assets and revalue all of our fixed assets at once, creditors and debtors, and key elements of the CIS. That will give us surety around the financial transactions and any kind of price that may be happening. The next year we will do the pensions, so that will be a full triannual revaluation. That will reset the pensions reserves and their transactions. And that will be a big piece of work. And then the subsequent year, we will try and do the rest of it. So that's been agreed with Zets, and that's a national stance that we're taking. So I don't know how many people have been following in the press the number of accounts that have published their accounts and have them fully audited. But with the backstop the government's instituted, which is February for the cutoff for this year's accounts audit, even the councils that have published their accounts in time are unlikely to get them audited in time. So they are going to be subject to the backstop as well, whether they like it or not. So it's going to create a huge problem, and that's why it's gone to a multi-year recovery, because the amount of work that's pumping into the audit sector is quite frankly astounding, because so many councils are going to exercise the backstop and not have an audited set of accounts for this year that just passed. It's going to be really interesting. I know I'm slightly off track, but it does add to this.
I take it that's the Chinese version of interesting.
Well, yes. So, we have done that. And I'm going to steal Judith's done on some of the ones that she's done on, or Stephen's actually as well, which is really good news. So, a lot has happened recently to tick off quite a few of these items. There'll be a little bit of a degree of reprofiling in line with our external auditor's blessing, and their focus on what they're going to be looking at as well. So it looks like a really positive relationship will be continued with the ZETS, the same as we have with Grant Thornton, and the good working relationships we have with them both. They're understanding of our position, and they both fully understand the amount of pressure we're under from our regeneration projects and how much pressure that puts on our finance teams. So they understand that we have to prioritise that due to our commitments to it and the agendas and the national pressure we have. And they're all supportive to our recovery. So, that's over to you.
Thank you. As I say, I suppose the other couple of things that are now moving forward, and as Chris has explained, we did have some slippage in quarter one, but I've just started working on the quarter two progress report, which we'll hopefully be able to bring to the next committee meeting, and that's starting to change some of the picture on this. So as well as Chris having cleared the work on the accounts, yesterday at leadership team, Stephen presented the risk management strategy, which we'll do. There's a couple of items that had slipped from quarter one, and to be fair to Stephen, the only reason it had slipped was down to me. He'd done all of the hard work and it was sat with me. I'd just become a bit of a block with other things that I'd got on the go. So we've done the risk management strategy, and actually we've also ticked off the change management policy that went to leadership team yesterday. So that's not to say there aren't other things in there that, you know, that we do still need to do more work on, but as I say, we are slowly but surely still, you know, working away at these and starting to the triangles into ticks and to stars.
Could I pull a couple of items out of that one? The 5.2, where the Grant Thornton identified several areas of concern. Primarily, delays in presenting at final accounts and budget monitoring, and weaknesses in the support systems of IT, fraud, procurement, performance management. And on 5.5, you've got an improvement plan coming through. And I believe you are short of staff.
Yes, this is true.
Would you like to tell the accounts committee how short of staff you are, please?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at about 8 vacancies at the moment, but it's more, I think everyone's aware, we did a redesign of our structure because we needed to make it fit for purpose.
Can I just interrupt for a moment and see?
Would you like to speak through the chair, Angela,
sorry,
please?
Sorry, Chair. We are talking about a long-term shortage of staff here. We're not only talking about the current shortage of staff, because if you look, you drew attention to 5.2,
yeah.
And 5.2, you're talking about 21-22 and 22-23. Now that is going back a number of years when we were short staffed then as well, and we knew we were short staffed, although there wasn't always an admission that we were. And we're now actually in 5.4 years. We know that there are, in fact, these issues are now being addressed, and whenever we look further on, there has been a lot of work being done in this, and I think that, you know, I'll say it now, I'll probably say it later on, but I think that Chris and the team have to be really congratulated on a lot of the work that has been done, particularly in restructuring our finance team, because that is not a small job, that is a giant piece of work, and to think that that has now been put underway, and it is now actually, from the week further on, you see that there are now job vacancies being advertised. You know, this is a wonderful situation to be in. I feel a wonderful situation to be in. It's not ideal.
It's good that we've been recognised,
yes,
it, because that's the first step, and thank you for pointing that out. But just to get a scope of how big the job is, what size is the team that you think you need to actually run your organisation?
I mean, we probably around 20-ish. It depends on the software, because we do need to do some software enhancements. That's built into this as well, which the auditors talked about. Although we are training next week, starting with the leadership team, then the following 2 weeks I'll be training the rest of the budget managers on accessing their own budget portal so they can see real-time budget information.
Yep.
They can access the ledger directly, because that's been a stumbling block for us for a while.
Right.
But in terms of the recruitment, to go back to your original question,
yep.
We designed the new structure, we went out to job evaluation, we worked with WM employers, we then designed the adverts, we engaged and we put them out. Unfortunately, with the adverts we put out, we only had 2 applicants and neither was suitable for the roles we put out. So rather than try again, we understand. I don't know, that's it, I'm not joking. Just checking I wasn't breaching any HR rules. We're now looking at using market forces supplement on those roles to get the people in. That will then start to have, I won't go out and I'm more hopeful, because obviously we're paying more, we're more competitive in the market. That will start to have a knock-on effect for the rest of the team potentially. We'll need to keep that under a close review due to the constraints we have as a local governmental body.
Could we ask while we've got the cabinet member here in charge of resources, are you supportive of using these market forces supplements?
I am indeed, Jan. Yes.
Right.
I don't see too many other alternatives, because we can't get people at the rate we're prepared to pay at present. Chances are, well, we've got to look at the market and we've got to up it if necessary.
Could I just ask one more process question? I believe that the normal circuit is that you have to advertise and get nobody at each grade before you can then use market supplements to hire that grade.
Yep.
You would probably need to look at 3 or 4 grades for these 8 people.
Yes.
Welcome. Therefore, you're going to have to go around that circuit 3 or 4 times.
That is true.
Would it be possible for the accounts committee to ask the cabinet member to recognise that it's across the whole market, and not force our finance organisation to keep going round the circuit, but for the cabinet to actually justify market forces being used on all the recruitment, if possible?
Can I just advise, actually, largely that policy is implemented through leadership team. It doesn't necessarily go as far as members, and we are actually already taking some flexibility into it, because normally we would expect post have been out to the market 2 or 3 times before we apply it. So we are looking at doing that after
I ask our corporate services colleague to note them that we're asking the cabinet member for finance to support that, because the account committee recognises that we are desperately short of people.
Well, I would support that, Jack.
Thank you very much. And the cabinet member who agreed and is supporting it. That will help enormously, because, you know, it's something I banged on about before, but we do not just have to manage Stafford Borough Council in its normal performances for all the things, excuse me a second, but we're also having to manage some very large projects, a multiplicity of very large projects, which are above and beyond anything that we normally do. And a huge part of the control and management of these projects falls on the accounts department. Sorry, Judy. Sorry. Angela, sorry.
I think one of the other important points is, apart from this looking at and acting positively in the staffing, is this training of staff, because that has been a big lack, where we haven't had staff who are actually currently employed, who have been looking at their budgets, and now they are not only being encouraged to do, they're also being trained into how they can do it effectively. And that has to be recognised as being yet another step forward in that. And I think we should also recognise that that is happening, and that is a great step forward to be taking at the present time and into the future. So I think, you know, that that's 2 positive things, you know, that I can see. Well, there are other positives we have been going through in the future. Thank you, Jim.
Through you,
Jim.
we are training them, and that is a great step forward. And we are going to be looking at accountability of project managers as well. Once we've trained them, shown them the system, we are looking for them to take that ownership of it moving forward. So we're going to keep working with them. There'll be a lot of support put in place, but as per the budget manager description within the financial procedure rules, there are constraints, there are expectations of budget managers. So I am reviewing those to make sure they are very tight. That will be part of the training, so they know their accountabilities moving forward as well. So I think it's really important that you guys, that members have comfort that budget managers understand their responsibilities and are held accountable for them moving forward as well.
I think to you also the point that you yourself made is about IT. Now you know that for years we have talked about IT. Mm. We have had the head of IT, who is long gone now, but we have had him to the accounts committee to try and explain to us what in fact was and was not going on in that department. And it's great also to see that Chris has got a handle on that as well.
Yeah.
So the handles that he's getting on to, I think, really are the leaders. And I just hope, you know, that you yourself are being looked after, Chris, because I think you that truth as well. People are just thinking that you're doing a great job, and it's a time to be recognised that there's a big step forward and that you're doing really well there.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Angela. I totally agree. It's a whole system of management controls, and if we haven't got control of it, it will fail. I think the audit report was perhaps over enthusiastic about we're leaving, therefore we're going to point out that you might fail, and we've got someone who's more realistic now looking at our audit. But I think it's quite correct, and I would actually disagree fundamentally with item 6.1 on here. There's no direct financial implications. That's a load of bananas. If this goes wrong, it could kill us.
It's true. It's quantifying the financial implications from it. Technically, we do have the budgets for the finance team, and we did, when we brought through the amended report, we did increase the budget for these areas. So technically, there's no direct ones, but we could, it's quantifying those indirect ones. But you're right.
Yeah.
For me, the key thing in here, if, just to speak to the item,
please,
is getting that budget monitoring back up and running on our big projects.
Yeah.
We need that in place. So for members' purposes, P6 monitoring is happening now.
Yeah.
And we are looking to get that up and running. It might be quarterly at the moment, the pressure we're under from it. That's what we're aiming for, to get us back up. And some of these areas will need more, and that's why we've got the portal, so they can access the ledger in real time, so that the staff can at least see it. But I think that that's where our biggest risk is in all of this. What I'd like most is to get our budget monitoring back up and running first.
Well, thank you for that. Now, forgive me for going on, but my background is project management. The company that I owned and ran employed 800 people doing projects of this size, and I needed every one of them to actually make sure the projects got delivered on time to cost, and even then we had a fair failure rate. It is no simple, easy thing to run big projects, particularly when you're not operating on greenfield sites. The great thing about greenfield sites is, you know, there's nothing underneath that's going to come and surprise you. Where you're doing town centre stuff, you're doing things in urban areas, there are lots of interests that have to be taken care of, and there are lots of things that can go wrong, and you do need good quality management that is watching it, which is why I'm so keen that Chris gets the staff, because fundamentally the job of accounts is to monitor the performance of the organisation. And so if you don't do that, then you're in trouble, because you don't know when there's something happening until it's too late. Mm-hmm. And these projects are of a size that if they get out of control, they are significant in terms of the overall expenditure. remember what's our normal expenditure on our home running the organisation?
So our net service expenditure is around 17 million.
17?
17.
And what's the size of these projects?
It's much bigger than 17. It's much bigger than 17.
Probably you add a zero for each one of them?
With the grant funding, what have you, we're probably 30-ish with all of the different projects that we're looking at. So it's...
Well, it's grant money is the money that the project is supposed to cost.
Yeah.
And if it costs more, money comes from us, not from the grant.
Absolutely.
So include the grant money that you're getting to do the project. Each of these is multiple hundreds of millions, isn't it?
The overall net impact could be to the total.
The point I'm making is that the percentage applies to the total project cost, because we've got a fixed funding to do the whole lot.
Yeah.
And if we overspend, it's on us.
Yes.
So the financial implications are having projects that run into the hundreds of millions getting out of control if we don't monitor them properly. And so we do need the staff to do the monitoring, because our current staffing levels and control systems were built around an organisation that was monitoring its own expenditure of 17 million. We now have to monitor projects in the 200 million range, and we're on the hook for any overruns. So while you might think it's not the remit of the accounts committee to be looking at day-to-day expenditure, I'm pointing out that accounting control is the way that you monitor these projects, the way that we see it coming through. And if it don't happen, we're going to have some difficult areas, which I'm glad that the cabinet are going to be supporting Chris's expenditure, and I hope are fully providing and budgeting for the overspend that is going to be coming through to actually get it done, and perhaps we can charge some of that to the projects. Please, Chris.
That is helpful, and if it's something we've spoken about as well, bringing an additional resource to support us through this time.
Yeah.
With us having to go back out again and the challenges we have, we are looking to bring in that specialist support. We have approached the big consultancy firms.
Yeah.
That was of a scale that we could afford. We're not Birmingham, but something in between we're now looking at. So there may be a financial pressure that will come up, but it will be monitored. I will bring a report that demonstrates when we're overspending, so that it's not ultra virus. I'd never do that.
Yeah.
I understand how budget monitoring works, but so you're aware that we may well have to bring in resource with this, the scale of what we're doing right now.
I think that's a very upfront and commendable attitude. We recognise we've got a problem, we do something about it, and we see the results of doing something about it. It's what running an operation is all about. Thank you, Chris. Has anybody else got any other comments on that? So what are we doing here? Are we noting?
Yes, please, Chairman. So, paragraph 2.1.
2.1, yeah. Then, we're asked to note the progress by the end of quota one.
Noted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, page 26, Chairman.
26. Actually, it makes it easier.
It does, in a way, yes. No, you're right, yeah.
All right, then. We have the resources portfolio, and the committee is asked to note the progress report.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll take this away, if that's okay.
Thank you very much.
This is the internal audit progress report up to the end of September. So it's telling you what we've done in terms of internal audit work from the 1st of April to the 30th of September. As with a lot of these things, the first part of the year is a little bit slower than the second half, so whilst the numbers aren't massive at the moment in terms of the completed work, we have got a number of areas in progress as well. It's pleasing to note that we've been able to issue one substantial in that period and two partial audit reports. We haven't issued any limited or no assurance reports in that area. On the tables in the report just show what we've got. So we've got three audits completed, four in progress. So those are on page 30 of the agenda. Over the page it then sets out what those audits are and a brief summary of the area. So we've got cloud computing that was partial, and also tree management, which is partial assurance that were issued in that period. The next table does show a list of
before we get on to your tables, could I note 5.3 that you seem to have successfully, almost, recruited both your vacancies?
Yes, well, in terms of that, Chair, I can actually give an update. Our second of those two posts actually started on Monday of this week, so we have finally filled both of our vacancies, which I was trying to think back. I think it's the first time since 2016 we've actually had a fully staffed internal audit service and not been totally reliant on backfilling through.
Careful, Chris doesn't pinch something.
Only one of them is a qualified accountant. Yeah. The other is a. But I mean that is all jokes aside. That is one of the issues we've tried a number of times to recruit. We've actually had to widen our net and widen our criteria to where we would have had a sort of firm line for certain things. We've had to look at transferable skills and other things to attract people with the experience and one of them has public sector experience but not a lot of actual audit experience, so we're having to train them up. The other has a lot of audit experience but not in the public sector, so again we've got to convert that. So it's not been the ideal situation that we would have liked to have got people in the team to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
We are in a better position than we are. We have retained the contractors to deliver some work because as you've said, it's only, I think one started the 30th of September, the other started this week, so we have already lost a chunk of this year.
Half a year.
But we are looking to try and pick that up with the contractors for the rest of this year. But hopefully moving forward, as long as we can retain them, then we are hopeful that it will put us in a good position.
Right. Thank you.
I think, Chair, I must endorse what you said. That really is good news.
It is.
Because the students said all those years where you were saying we were managing after bringing in, you know, what agency staff, etc. And I think you've got a future here as well to get these posts filled.
I think as Chris has pointed out, it is difficult recruiting to the sector wide. Internal auditors are scarce as well, and we're all almost in the position that Chris is facing with finance. I mean, the number of times we've been out, particularly for the senior auditors, and not had any interest. I think we've just fallen lucky at the moment. We've got somebody who's got relevant skills looking to make that move.
Good. Well done. Congratulations. Okay, so take us through the individual ones.
Yeah, so as I say, there's the two that we've issued partial, which we do have some explanations for there in terms of cloud computing and tree management. And it's just around sort of, cloud computing is around that area that some systems were purchased that are cloud-based that didn't actually follow the right processes and IT weren't fully involved from the start. Now, that's not actually a criticism of IT directly, because if they're not aware of these systems, then they can't offer their support. It's that wider processes around there. And also tree management. Again, I think this is a wider issue, and it's an improvement from when we did the last audit, as some of the longer standing members will see, where we had lots of issues and a long delay in action in some of the high risk work. But this is still a follow on from some of that around making sure we've got regular inspections in between our big 5 yearly inspections, making sure we procure things in the right way,
yep.
And making sure we have got all the right risk assessments and things documented and in place. So it is a service that is improving and getting better, but it's one of those that does still need a little bit more work. As I say, over the page, on a couple of pages on Appendix 3, page 34, just list the audits that we've started but not completed in that period. And then, probably more important as well for the committee, is Appendix 4, which starts on page 35. So these are where we've done follow-ups and showing the progress or not, as the case may be, for the follow-ups. So it probably is a little bit disappointing that we haven't had more of the audits moving forward from a partial to a substantial. It is really the last few where we have seen that improvement. And it is pleasing to note that a lot of those are IT-related audits where we have had issues in the past. Mm-hmm. So being able to give those the substantial assurances is good, and it does show that turnaround that we are making now in line with the BFM report on those areas. I think for me it's probably the ones that are still sitting at the partial level and haven't moved from partial when we did our last review,
yeah.
That are probably a little bit more wanting attention. I'd probably say the building control, where we've done a second follow-up, it's not that significant an issue now, and it is something that I do know, talking to the managers after this follow-up, it is something that is pretty much completed at this point in time, but hadn't been done when we followed it up at that time. So that looks worse, that it stayed at that level for a couple of follow-ups.
Right.
But I don't think it's anything that members need to take too much attention of at this point in time. But I'm happy to take any questions on any of the audits or follow-ups at that point.
Chairman, can I comment, please, on the tree strategy and the street scene? I think these are also areas where we've had a problem for quite a long time. If you see the street scene, if I say that they seem to me to be in the directed area for quite some time, they're now having to throw themselves up, aren't they? Because you see the bear I mentioned there, there seems to be quite a lot of problems where we weren't having equipment replaced, and these are all big items that are now being taken care of to do. And I remember the tree management, we discussed that years ago in audit and accounts whenever we talked about the trees, and we also were short of tree officers, if you remember, Scotland with tree officers. They're another area like your auditors where it's a lot easier for them to all resign from their jobs and then come back to the agencies. You know, it's easier for them to then, I shouldn't really say this, but they don't really need to have a great commitment, you know, with all due respect. And I think, you know, it's great that we're actually now getting to grips with things.
Yeah.
And that Stephen has kept an eye on all these things,
yeah,
that have been a problem to us for quite a long time, quite a number of years.
Yeah, to be chair, if I can actually offer some more reassurance over and above that, I mean, Stephen's been it from his side of the business, and I feel the information on the other side, and certainly through leadership team, and working quite closely with Josh Presser, as the head of operations. I know he particularly has flagged trees and the wider streets in the areas,
yes,
as in needing some work. And obviously it's part of shared services,
yes,
which we've been moving together and transform them. I say he's got quite a big list of things that he wants to do working with his managers, but trees is at the top of that list. He has identified that as his number one priority.
Yes, yes.
Yes,
I think we need to recognise that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it has been seen as an issue, and it's an area that's improving. I think street scene, as you say, and Chris may want to comment as well, I think they have, it's perhaps there's not been the planned replacement and maintenance, particularly on the vehicles, and I think they've tried to push them for their length of the time, and they end up then spending a lot more on repairs.
Yes.
They're off the mood and we're getting extra vehicles in, whereas actually having that planned, moving towards this planned replacement programme, whilst it's not there at the moment, should hopefully help us in the future, but if there's anything more to say on that.
We put aside money in the budget for replacement vehicles for the first time last year, so they've got a reserve to pull on now. It's trying to anticipate, we need to put together a proper capital programme that is auditable, like Steve has seen, demonstrates where we're going with all this stuff.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a sea change for the organisation.
if I can just say also, Chair, from my own experience in my work, the new equipment that they're bringing in is quite fantastic. You know, when I see what they're doing, because the work that has been done in my ward for the environment, it has been absolutely magic, the work that has been done. And Street Scene have worked so very hard. And it's great to actually go and see them working with this equipment. And they're obviously enjoying working with it, which is great as well. So I think they're enjoying practically showing it off and showing how it works. So it's great, you know, that that money has now been spent and that equipment is helping them to move forward. Because honestly, if you've got the tools to work, you've got a better workforce, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot more pleasant people to work with, and that encourages them to stay with you.
Yeah.
I think that's another good news story. So well done there.
Very good, pertinent comment. That, that if you give people the right tools, they become proud of the job that they're doing.
They do.
And it's a win-win situation then for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been great in my ward, absolutely. Yeah.
Good to hear. Thank you very much. So,
Chair, I wonder, just to inject a little note of concern, I'm a bit worried to see that high-risk trees were not inspected in between the five-yearly cyclical inspection of the stock. I mean, that is something which could give us horrendous, do us horrendous reputational damage if it goes wrong. You know, if anybody's injured, you know.
Chair, that's one of the reasons why the head of operations has identified it as being one of his priorities, to make sure that we can, that we look at how we do that programme of inspection, keep on top of that, and then the maintenance work. So I say he's looking across the whole piece of that.
I mean, I'd like to see that so done as quickly as possible.
I do agree that it's a risk. Ensuring that we don't have any damaged trees around, there is a balance to be struck.
We're looking at high risk trees, not just any old trees.
Well, it's what tree is a high risk tree, and how much wind is it going to take it to blow a branch off it or blow it down, and it's an art rather than a science, I believe.
But I'd like to see us taking it seriously, very seriously.
Yeah.
Through you, Chair.
Yes, Chris.
I mean, I can confirm that we're investigating software solutions to log this. We are looking at the... I'm just checking what I'm allowed or not to say. I don't want to overstep procurement rules. I know that we're looking at the Litchfield software that they use for their trees,
right,
recruiting to the team, and how their ways of working. There is an investment, and on the priorities list, this is actually quite close to the top of the IT team to implement it. Because without the software, we can't go anywhere effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a multi-stage program that actually has got a program and a plan behind it. So I'm quite happy that that is coherent.
There we are then. Things are being done, and software is coming along to help us.
Yeah, good news story.
Any other issues that anyone wants to pull out?
I don't think I've got anything other than at the end of the report. So the final appendix, appendix 5, is just giving that list of the other areas we've identified now for the rest of the year to look at. There may be some movement on some of these as risks come and go, but if members recall at the time of the audit plan, we didn't have a definitive list as we've reported
right
in previous years. And this is the most up-to-date list we have. We are still reviewing it on a quarterly basis with heads of service and updating that list with the biggest risk areas and the most high-profile areas as we go.
I note that we're at the end of quarter two and into quarter three. You've not got anything on there that goes beyond quarter four. So are you putting yourself on risk here?
In terms of the audit plan, we would always plan for a year, so anything past quarter four of this year will be in next year's audit plan, and will be on that. So,
well, yeah, but the head of the column says indicative quarter.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that that's not an honest estimate, that you're going to get everything completed by the end of the year?
I think, to be honest, we can never give a full guarantee that we will complete everything in the year. It depends on multiple factors and what happens.
I think the committee would like you to give your best assessment rather than saying, well, I'm here to make sure everything happens in the year, so I'm not going to put anything beyond quarter four, but I'm expecting that there's going to be four or five.
I think as members of the committee will know, there is always some work that does slip into a following year, but we will bring a new plan with that work in. My intention is that the majority of this will be completed by the end of the year. The contractors that we have on board haven't done any work yet because they are picking up work that is always done towards the end of the year.
We'll turn it round.
So there will be a significant amount of that work done.
Give us a percentage of what you're going to complete in the year.
The standard target that we've always had is we will complete 90% of the plan within the year.
Is that your commitment?
So that
don't hang yourself.
I think the fact that this year we haven't had a definitive list, it is pretty difficult to determine what level we will do. But my intention is that work, or the majority of that work, will be done. If things drop, it will be changes in their MISC element, and it will be in consultation with the heads and with Chris. But certainly the highest risk areas are key finance systems that are on there, our high risk projects that are on there, will be looking. In terms of things like the local plan that was on there as a quarter two audit that hasn't started, I think as members are aware now, I think we are changing the way we're looking at the local plan for Stafford, so it may well be that it isn't appropriate for us to start that work, and we may swap that out for something else in the year. So
your best estimate of what you know as of today is that 90% of that's going to be complete?
I would be fairly confident that we could give that, yes.
Thank you. Gentlemen, we're asked to note the report.
Only the gentlemen.
you can be an honorary gentleman.
I'm wondering if we're all here.
Yeah. Members, we're asked to note the report. Do I have a recommendation?
Noted.
Noted. Thank you. And that finishes the meeting.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the officers.